John 19, beginning at verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, "They will look on the one they have pierced." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone. If you have got a Bible with you or it's on your phone, please keep that passage somewhere where you can see it. And let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your living word, which teaches us about Jesus, your son. This morning, please speak to each one of us through your word. And show us your saving love made visible at the cross. Amen. Well, in these Worship Together services, we've been working through John's Gospel, looking at people who Jesus met. And today we come to a very special, very holy part of John's Gospel. We're looking at the part of the Gospel where Jesus died on the cross. Now, it's always sad when someone dies. It's sad that Jesus died. But it is also very special, very important, and very wonderful. And to help us see how special Jesus' death on the cross is, John, our gospel writer, tells us two big things about Jesus dying on the cross in the passage which we just read. And we're going to look at those two things in our two mini talks this morning. The first big thing that John, the Gospel writer, wants us to know is that Jesus died exactly as God promised. Jesus died exactly as God promised. In fact, in our Bible reading, John the writer tells us about three things that God promised in the Old Testament that came true when Jesus died on the cross. And to help me with that, some of us have got some posters we're looking after. Who has got my poster with the jug on it? Yes, I can see it there. Please bring it forward. So this is one of the promises that God made centuries before. And please put it on this post there. Thank you, Yuti. Excellent. And you can go back to your seats. Let's have a look, if you've got the Bible, in verse 28 of our reading. "Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips." Now, I have to look a long way back in time from the cross to see this promise. 1,000 years before Jesus, a man called King David wrote a song, Psalm 69. And that song is about a king who suffered. A king who was attacked by his enemies, who was mocked and bullied, and a king who was given vinegar to drink. We can see part of the psalm on the screen. Now, that song, written 1,000 years before Jesus, It wasn't just about King David. It was actually a promise that one day a king would suffer to save his people. And John the Gospel writer tells us the reason Jesus said, "I am thirsty," the reason he was given that vinegar to drink, is that he is the promised king who suffered. So I can connect one of my ribbons from the promise to the cross. Always practice your knots, everyone. You never know when you might need them. Jesus died exactly as God promised. He is the promised king who suffered to save his people. But that's not all. John tells us in his account that after Jesus died, the Jews didn't want his body or the bodies of the people who were crucified with him to be left on the cross over the Sabbath, the special day. So the Jews asked Pilate, the Roman governor, to send his soldiers to break the legs of the people on the crosses and take the bodies down. Now the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two people crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, well, he was already dead. So they did not break his legs. Instead, to check that he was dead, they stabbed a spear into his side, and blood and water came pouring out. Now let me read verse 36 of our passage. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Now, who has got my sign with the bone on it? Thank you, boys. Bring it forward. Now, this promise happened even longer ago than King David. This promise happened about 1,200 years before Jesus. So, boys, you've got to put it on the far stick, please. Thank you very much indeed. 1,200 years before Jesus, God's people, the Israelites, were slaves in Egypt. And God's judgment was about to come on the land of Egypt. The oldest son in every house was about to die. And so God told the Israelite families to take a lamb and to kill the lamb and to put the blood up round the door of their house. And then when God came in judgment, he would pass over the Israelites' house. Their boys would be quite safe because the lamb had died in their place. Now, when God told the Israelites to do this, his instructions were very specific. And one thing that God said is, do not break any of the bones of these lambs. And then later, God promised that he would send another lamb who would actually be a person. The lamb who would die in our place to rescue us from God's judgment. So that's why John the Gospel writer tells us when Jesus died on the cross, not one of his bones was broken. Because he is that promised lamb. So I could join another one of my ribbons from the cross of Jesus right back to the book of Exodus. Jesus is the promised lamb with none of his bones broken who died in our place. Always practice your knots. You never know when you might need them. Now I've got one more poster for this part of our talk. Who has got the one with the spear on it? Girls, I think that's you. Please bring that forward. Now this one is a bit closer to Jesus in history, so that goes on to the stick there, please. Thank you, good job. Now 500 years before Jesus, the prophet Zechariah promised someone who would be pierced. And they promised that this person would become a kind of fountain to wash the people's sins away. So again, John tells us that the reason Jesus was pierced with a spear on the cross, the reason that water came out of him like a kind of fountain, is that Jesus is that promised fountain who washes our sins away. We've got one more ribbon connecting the cross of Christ to the prophet Zechariah and the promised fountain. The one who would be pierced. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, can you see what John is showing us? He's saying Jesus died exactly as God promised. He was given vinegar to drink, because he was the promised king who would suffer to save his people. Not one of his bones was broken, because he was the promised lamb with unbroken bones who would die in our place. He was pierced and the water came out because he was the promised fountain who would wash our sins away. In fact, there are over 100 promises in the Old Testament that came true in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It shows us that Jesus' death is not an accident. God promised it centuries before. It was part of God's loving plan. It was part of Jesus' loving plan. Jesus died exactly as God promised. And then, ladies and gentlemen, please notice that these promises come from the three main parts of the Old Testament. The law of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets. They come from the three main eras in Israel's history. The Exodus, the King David, and the restoration from the exile. This shows us that the whole Old Testament, the whole history of Israel, is all pointing forward to one thing. Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross is at the center of God's plan for the world. And so that means it should be at the center of our lives. Even as Christians, we believe in the cross, but it's easy sometimes to forget about it. Let's make sure that Jesus dying on the cross is something we remember every day, that in our hearts we think about the love he showed us there, that we let the cross of Christ shape our lives. It's at the center of God's plan. The whole Old Testament points to it. Let's keep it at the center of our lives. We're going to have part two in a minute, but Jason or Laura, back to you. So John, our gospel writer, wants us to know how special Jesus dying on the cross was. And the first thing he shows us is what we've seen, that Jesus died exactly as God promised. But there's something else that John, our gospel writer, wants us to see that is so amazing about Jesus dying on the cross. And to understand this, we need to look at Jesus' last words that he said on the cross. If you've got the Bible, do have a look at verse 30, and I'll read it to us so that we can all hear what he said. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus said, "It is finished." And I'm going to put that up here. Now, this was not a cry of defeat. Jesus didn't say, "I'm finished." It's actually a cry of victory. Jesus said, "It is finished." Sometimes in life, when we finish something very difficult, we give a cry of victory. We say, "I've done it," or "It's finished." Let's have a look at some pictures. Can you guess what these people have finished? Can you see that? It might be a bit small, a bit faint. Can anyone see? What has that woman just finished? Nice and loud if you know. Just call it out. She's finished a marathon. She's got to the finishing line. Next one, please. What do you think these people have just finished? They've just finished their exams or their GCSEs, and they have finished them. And what's this lady just finished? She's just finished having a baby. When you finish a marathon, when you finish your exams, when you finish having a baby, you might shout out, "It is finished." We can have that up on the screen as well. It's a cry of victory, a cry of accomplishment. But what exactly did Jesus finish on the cross? Well, the answer comes from another meaning of this word. And I want to teach us, first of all, what the word is in the original language. It's such an important word, ladies and gentlemen. It's good for us to see it. In the original language, it's one word, tetelestai, which means it is finished. And it also means it is paid. That's why Jesus said, tetelestai, it is finished. It is paid. Because on the cross, he finished paying for our sins. Now, Laura and I are going to do a little bit of drama. Imagine I owed a debt to Laura. Imagine I owed Laura £1 million. So I got myself into a bit of trouble. It's going to be difficult on a vicar's salary to pay this off. And Laura, you know, she wants her million. So I have to save up. I save up all year. And at the end of the first year, I pay Laura back £250,000. Brown envelope, often the best way. So I'm starting to solve my problem. I save up for another year, saving all year. I pay her back another £250,000. So she's starting to feel a bit reassured. Another year, I'm saving all year. Pay her back another £250,000. What's my debt got to now, please, Laura? Good mathematics, by the way. And then finally, after another year of saving all year, I'd pay back another £250,000. It's in there, don't worry. And now, at last, Laura, you can tear that debt sheet down and you can tell me the good news.
It is paid.
Ah, what a relief. How wonderful. It is paid. I'd finished paying off the debt. Now let's think about my debt to God. And Corey's going to help us with that. Now, my debt to God isn't money. My debt to God is the wrong things I've done. So all of the mean things which I've done, that can go up. The hurtful things that I've said to other people. Oh. Sorry, Corey. There we go. Your mum will help you. All of the unkind things that I have thought. And all of the ways that I have said no to God being in charge and tried to live as if I was God instead. Now, this debt is huge. There's no way that I could pay this debt off to God of all the wrong things I've done. But you know, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for the sins of everyone who would trust in him. He took the punishment for all my sins, and he paid for them fully, finally, and forever. So that God can take that sheet away, if you take it down now, Corey. And God can say, because Jesus died, it is paid. What a relief. How wonderful. Even better than the other one. My debt to God has been paid by Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for the sins of everyone who would trust in him. Now, I guess many of us know that truth well, but what I want us to notice today is that it's not just that Jesus started paying for our sins, he has finished paying for them. It's not just that he paid for some of our sins, it's that he paid for them all. That's why he said, it is finished, it is paid. And this means something absolutely wonderful for all who trust in him. And Ellie, you've got my final poster. If you could please bring that up. That's so kind, thank you. And that goes on the post there. Because the cross of Jesus, it wasn't just promised ahead of time, it also changes our lives after it happened. Thank you. And I'm going to connect the ribbon up here. The cross of Jesus changes our lives, even here, 2,000 years afterwards. Because Jesus finished paying for our sins, if we're trusting in him, God sees you as perfect. Now, sometimes we think, God must be angry with me. After all those selfish things I've thought, said, and done, after all the ways I've said no to him being in charge, he must be angry with me, or even annoyed or frustrated with me. But no, Jesus said, it is paid. If you're trusting in Jesus, he's finished paying for your sins. They've all been taken away. God sees you as perfect. He delights in you. He sees you just as perfect as Jesus. Other times we think, oh, before God forgives me, I'll have to make up for my sins. I've said something mean. Before God forgives me, I'll have to say lots of nice things. I've done something horrible. Before God forgives me, I'll have to do lots of nice things. But no, Jesus said, it is paid. We don't have to do anything for God to forgive us apart from trust in Jesus. We don't pay for our salvation. Jesus paid for it. The reason we obey God is not so that he will forgive us. It's because we're so grateful that he has forgiven us. Everybody, hold on to this wonderful truth. If you're trusting in Jesus, God sees you as perfect because Jesus finished paying for our sins. If this week you're feeling sad because things are difficult at school or at work or at home, remind yourself, it is paid. God sees me as perfect. That will help you feel better. If this week you're feeling guilty, you're feeling that you've let God down because of something that you've said and done, remind yourself, Jesus said, it is paid. God sees you as perfect. And say to Jesus, thank you that you died exactly as God promised. And thank you that God sees me as perfect.